Hey, Toronto, welcome to How's Market Podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kate.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
We took a little bit of a break there here in Q1.
Yeah, things have been picking up and being pretty busy. So we took a little bit of a hiatus.
I don't want to sound like a realtor, but we were busy.
Absolutely. But yeah, we're going to talk about some really interesting things today. We're going to talk a little bit about the car theft that I'm sure many people are hearing about or personally experiencing in the city. We're going to talk a little bit about the Gardner closure, which I'm sure everyone in the city is either personally experiencing or has heard about.
Yeah.
And also the potential for a rain tax in the city.
Yeah. They're bringing the rain.
I thought it was a joke when I read that. I wasn't sure if it was a sun tax, a rain tax.
You're like, is this April 1st already? Let's...
I think we're going to be getting a snow tax pretty soon.
We'll see. Yeah, a precipitation tax.
Yeah. And then we're going to be giving you some information on the market stats for Toronto and Etobicoke.
Lots to go through. Grab your popcorn and
stay tuned.
So car theft.
Yes. It's everywhere.
It seems a very well-oiled operation.
Yep.
They have it down to a science, targeting certain vehicles. They know which ones they can resell for higher for the most amount, which were the easiest ones to get into, to take, to override the fob system.
And they're hitting multiple homes multiple times. I anecdotally saw a realtor that I follow on Instagram who was complaining that this is the third time someone has stolen his vehicle from his driveway.
Yeah. And we see it firsthand with clients when we're shopping for places. They're more concerned about having indoor parking, secured parking. And even I've had questions for the first time in my career about real estate about gates that can come and close off driveways or the metal bars that...
The retractable bollards.
Yes, that's the technical
term. The retractable bollards. Yeah. Yeah, basically posts that you have permanently installed in your driveway. They're completely flush with the ground during the day. You don't even know they're there. And then in the evening, you actually pull them up and it makes it nearly impossible to steal the car.
So interesting. I think we'll probably start to see more and more of those. Even if there is garages, people are just looking for additional security. It doesn't seem to be what the police have been able to do is to deter them at all. It's even if they do get caught, it seems like they're turning around and they're back on the street pretty quickly here.
Yeah, I think we're getting mixed messaging. I know a month ago there was a huge sting where they found a cargo ship carrying a ton of cars out of Ontario and they were able to shut down that operation. But then more recently, you have constables out there suggesting that in order to stop violent break-ins, that you leave your keys in a little bag by the front door for the thieves.
Yes.
Make their life a little easier. And I was going through all these articles looking at the comments, and the comments are always the funniest part for me. People are funny.
They are funny.
People are funny.
And if it's about you, don't be sensitive.
I saw everyone just saying, oh, would you like me to also put out a little plate of homemade cookies for them?
Yeah.
Should I also leave my firstborn child?
From my understanding, the way it operates is, you know, once they steal the car, they drive it to Montreal and exit through the port of Montreal. Mm-hmm. I think I saw a comment about, should I just drive it to Montreal for them? Would that make it easier?
Yeah, just drive it. I'll leave the keys in the ignition.
Let me give them a concierge service here.
Make sure you fill up the tank before they take it. Yeah, but this is a rising issue. Car thefts in the city have doubled in the last 5 years. So in 2019, we were looking at about 5,000, just roughly over 5,000 car thefts. We're looking at 11,767 for 2023. And I imagine that number in 2024 is going to be higher. And I think there is a mix of this. It's thieves, like you said, understanding the right properties, the right cars, just getting better at it. But I think it's also people's desperation right now. Everything's expensive. Everyone's feeling it.
Yeah.
And I think, not to say that there's any justification for this, and I'm sure there's plenty of people who are stealing cars who don't need the money, but I do think it doesn't help the situation.
Yeah, that's definitely a contributing factor. And we poke jabs at the police, but I think that their hands are tied with, even if they do catch them, they're back out on the street. So they're in an impossible situation there, but yet they are serious when they're like, hey, if you're worried about home invasions, because we started to see those go up, and the most important thing is your family, not your vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to reiterate, and the police has reiterated, that this was only a constable at a press conference giving his personal opinion. And they've been dealing with, unfortunately, they've been dealing with a lot of violent break-ins, which is the heartbreaking stuff, right? People being attacked in their bed while their home's being broken in. I think this was well-mannered. I think it had good intentions behind it. He was trying to make a suggestion for people to keep themselves safe, but the Toronto police or the police force has made it clear that this is not their official stance on the subject, and it was just one constable.
I also saw, after that statement was released in the press, more of a harder line and push from the premier and other political leaders, just to say, we need to crack down on this. This needs to be resolved, and we need to have a harder stance on and a harder sentencing for criminals that are stealing cars.
Absolutely.
The other effect that I'm worried about with the car theft is the insurance rates are going to go up. Your insurance goes up every year, right?
Like, oh my gosh, it's going to be driving people's insurance up, especially for these specific make and model of cars that are more valuable, easier to break into. I'm sure everybody's going to be feeling that over the next couple of years.
It definitely feels like there's a push to have less cars on the road. You have a bigger population, less cars on the road.
And worse infrastructure, worse transit infrastructure that never gets finished.
Yeah, I was going to say the bike lanes, and then now we're going into the Gardner. I guess they're only closing one lane at a time for 3 years,
yeah,
allegedly.
The Gardner is unfortunate. It is maintenance that needs to be done. That was part of the deal when they closed down the Gardner ramp, but it's not managed well. There are so many things that are just mismanaged with the city, so many better ways we could be doing this, but it is what it is. Yeah, Gardner is going to have a lane closed until 2027 in each direction. Our six-lane highway, one of our main driven roads in the city is going to be down by a third.
Yeah, and it's with Bloor down to one lane, I think people are going to be looking more at Lakeshore Boulevard and Queensway.
Potentially.
Even if they're going up to Eglinton.
Yeah. I don't know. And the city's just not doing enough to implement transit. The subways are packed. The subways are absolutely packed at rush hour. It's almost unsafe to take it. The streetcars are always delayed because of road construction. Yeah. Eglinton LRT is 5 or 10 years overdue. And we've got the Ontario line coming in, but we're not going to see that for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm almost considering driving up to the 401. And to me, it's like we're implementing carbon tax and all this extra tax on gas, but then we're causing people to double their commute, not only sit stalled in traffic, but to also take ways that are twice the length using twice the amount of gas because it saves 10 minutes. I don't understand the city's planning behind it. I don't understand with this government, if carbon tax and carbon emissions is such an important part, then why aren't we also taking that consideration with these decisions?
You can't put two decisions together and play them off each other. That's unfair.
Apparently not. Apparently you not.
This is leadership and politics. You can't, don't mix the two issues. Those are separate issues. They're separate talking points.
Absolutely. And then let's talk about our next talking point, a rain tax. Tell me a little bit about this, Dave. Tell me what you've heard.
I know the city's operating at a deficit, and I guess somebody said, let's make it rain. So
yeah,
my understanding is that they're going to tax homeowners, property owners for hard surfaces. So if you've got a driveway, concrete asphalt driveway, mm-hmm. or like your roof, basically any portion of your property where that water can't be absorbed into the earth,
yep.
and basically it's going to go into the sewer system and go through the water filtration plant.
I wonder if this is going to encourage new homes. I've seen a lot of those like concrete backyards around, you know, if you've got an in-ground swimming pool and you do the whole backyard in concrete or tile, I wonder if this is going to encourage people to start switching to like other alternatives and turf.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I think Peel has something like this. Mm-hmm. It's not unheard of. The title of it's ridiculous. Basically what the issue is, we have the infrastructure similar to the Gardner for our water filtration and sewers is in need of repair.
Antiquated.
There's not a lot of funds available. So what's another tax?
Yeah. So my understanding is that you're already paying for the stormwater runoff in your current water bill. There's already a flat fee there that everybody in the city pays. What they're looking to do is to split that, to remove it from the water bill. So they're saying a lot of people actually see their water bill go down, mm-hmm. but now you're going to have this separate tax that was already built in, and it's now going to be based off a flat charge based off like the property size, property type, and then the hard surface area as you specified. And there's going to be, I think it's going to be similar to property tax where I don't know if it's going to be house by house or if it's going to be more of a neighborhood.
It's always not 100% clear. At least I find it when it's in the proposition stage.
Yeah.
Because it morphs and changes, seems like.
It's also in early stages. So if you agree or disagree with this, maybe reach out to your counselor and give them a little taste of your opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So lots of stuff going on in the city there.
Yeah.
But there's also some real estate being sold.
Always changes. We have so much more to talk about next week too. I feel there's so much happening as the summer comes.
Yeah. This is my favorite time of year.
I think it's every Torontonian's favorite, every Canadian's favorite time of year.
I stand by the fact that it always snows in April.
It does. You're absolutely right.
I think we're going to
get one more.
We'll see.
I was silly and got my tires taken off March 15th, and that was a mistake. It's so hard to juggle, though. Like, I don't want to be riding my winter tires when it's 15 out, and then we get a snowstorm at negative 10.
You live in Toronto.
That's true.
Those are your weather options.
That's basically it. Hey, I'd still rather have it over the rain. I always say that. I'll take it over the UK's weather any day.
We've had a few, I call them Vancouver, Seattle days, UK days. Like it's,
I don't know how people live out there. I know it's beautiful, but the rain, I've never realized how much that the gray, rainy, snowy, slushy weather really impacts my mental health and my mood overall.
Oh yeah.
And I've noticed, and we've had a very mild winter. I feel like the last couple winters have been very mild. No major snowstorms, except for I think the one we saw in March was probably one of the worst snowstorms we've had all winter, which is interesting. But yeah, I think we've had a very mild winter and we've been very lucky. I remember those days when you walk outside your house and your nose immediately just freezes because it's so cold outside.
Or take the pot of boiling water and you throw it up and it just freezes instantly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, like not being able to go outside with wet hair because it's just going to turn into an icicle and snap off.
That gets me every time.
I know. If you braid your hair, it's a little less dangerous.
I'll get right on that. Yeah. You're talking about the depression of that gray, gloomy, no sun.
Yeah.
I lived in Australia in my 20s for about 3 years, and that's the one thing I noticed.
Yeah.
I was like, they don't have the depression of a Canadian winter here.
Everybody's in a good mood. But yeah, it's also like happy. It's party season year long down there.
It is, but it's reflective in the attitude of life where it's they work so they can live. They don't live to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I find was a major thing here. And there are a lot of people that are, especially the younger generations, that are going away from that.
Yeah.
It's quiet quitting. And
hey, my brother's on a 4-day work week. He works 10 hours a day and then he gets Fridays off.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And it's been working really well for him.
That's awesome.
Went over to his place the other day and I was like, why are you home on a Friday? And he's like, I don't work Fridays anymore. It's been almost a year.
I think the question is, why were you at his house not expecting him home on a Friday?
Dropping off my dog.
Oh, okay. And how is Max?
My pet sitter. He's okay. That's a good boy.
He always is.
Yeah.
All right. So we're almost at the end of Q1. And by the time this probably gets posted, it is officially the end of Q1.
Right around the time.
Yeah.
It'll be the end of March.
So let's have a look back at, we've got the February numbers for Toronto.
Yeah.
And we'll look at the January numbers and then we'll focus a little bit more at the luxury segment in Etobicoke.
Yeah, so I definitely feel like we here and probably at our office as well have all really felt the kind of uptick in business, confidence returning to the market, people looking to transact. You know, a lot of people have been holding off for the last 2 years and they're finally like, okay, like I need to make this decision.
I've noticed this as a trend over the last 3-4 years, but December and January, it seems like they've been busier.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's the smart buyer, the smart consumer who's, okay, I know there's less out there, but I also know there's a whole lot less buyers. Mm-hmm. So I can go and probably negotiate one-on-one. And I think anybody who's listed during this time is probably motivated. So I might be able to get a deal.
I honestly think the week of Christmas is probably the best time to find a deal in the city because the only people who are listed are people who are really motivated and need to sell.
Yeah.
And the only people who are looking are motivated and ready to buy or looking for a deal.
Or it's a vacant property and they're not here.
That's true.
Right. So I did a deal on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. But yeah, taking a look at the market stats. Yeah. So if we look at February for transactions, we're at 5,607.
Yep.
That's over 1,000 more than we saw in January.
Yeah. So almost 1,200.
Business is moving. Average price, we're looking at 1,108,000 for all properties. Compared to January, it was 1,026,000. So almost $100,000 higher average price just 1 month apart. That's
8-9% up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then new listings, right now there's 11,396 compared to 8,300 last month.
Yeah.
3,000 new listings.
3,000 new listings.
And we've been seeing them. There's some quality listings coming out. We're finally getting rid of those zombie listings or they're like sinking to the bottom and we're finally getting some fresh product.
Or they're getting the message.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we're starting to see more listings come, but more transactions. And I described that last year was, we were stuck in traffic and gridlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we're starting to see it move from both ends where buyers are actually starting to transact and now their property can come on the market and that's another buyer solved. And we started to get the traffic flowing that way.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when on the other side is there's folks that have tried to hold on and just, you know, they've gotten to a threshold where like, can't do it anymore. And now they're having to sell their property, whether it's their primary residence or it's an investment that they have. So we're starting to see more properties get liquidated.
And we were definitely anticipating this. Like obviously as we move towards the spring market, we're anticipating for the market to pick up, transactions to keep going. We were a little wary about how the Bank of Canada, when they held rates rather than lowering them, how that would affect the market. It seems that buyer confidence is still there. They're still not, it's not like last time where we had a rate hold and everybody ran away for a month. It seems confidence is still here. People are still looking to transact. I am interested to see, because I do anticipate a busy spring. I don't know what's going to happen with the market, because we're seeing prices come up already. A lot of freehold homes, we're seeing multiple offers for good quality product go. But as everybody's renewals come up towards the end of the year, I'm really curious. Lower interest rates, people liquidating their homes because they just can't afford the interest on it anymore, or when they go to reassess their new rate compared to 4 years ago, it's not worth it to them. I think it's going to be a lot of factors melting into one, and I'm curious to see what that looks like.
There's stimulus from multiple different sources and for a number of reasons, people are moving, and we'll see what happens here.
And I think that is going to be towards the end of this year when most of those mortgages come up for renewal.
We always see the second quarter, what we're moving into here is the busiest time of year in Toronto generally. That's what we saw last year. We saw a front-loaded year, and then things slowed down throughout the summer and then just went steady.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems overall there's more buyer confidence, and the numbers are starting to support that too.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of articles of people saying, oh, they're expecting fire sales when everyone's going to renew. I imagine that if you're living in a $700,000 to $1 million home, that's a very large asset. I'm assuming that these people are being proactive. They're talking to their mortgage agents. Yeah. They're seeing what their rate is going to go up to, and they're making that decision now rather than waiting till last minute. Like, selling your house is not a last minute decision most of the time.
You know, this is not financial or mortgage advice. Talk to professionals, but talk to
your professionals. Set up a meeting. They're getting busy.
If you've owned your property for it's 5 years or whatever it is, and the renewal's coming on it, and you do the math, you jump online, you see what that payment's going to look like. There's other options. You can push out the amortization. There's other solutions that they might be able to help you with.
Absolutely. But you need time in order to do that. You can't do it last minute. Anecdotally, I know someone who I think they locked in like just over 1% as an interest rate 4 years ago. They're coming up for renewal and it's going to almost triple their mortgage. Yeah. So they're trying to plan around that, figure out what they're going to do with that, talking to their mortgage agent, balancing finances. Hopefully people have been saving up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see what happens. I don't anticipate a ton of fire sales, but there may be some from the people who don't prepare properly.
There's always fire sales. There's always the three things that are always the catalyst for real estate is death, divorce, and debt. Mm-hmm. And they're not the nicest things to talk about, but they do push real estate, and they are reasons why people move all the time.
Absolutely.
And that's never going to stop.
Yep.
So it's, if you know where to look, often these so-called fire sales, they never make it to the market.
A lot of them don't.
So it's, whether it's the mortgage brokers, the industry professionals, the mortgage brokers, the realtors, the real estate lawyers who buy them before they even hit the market, or there's investors who are very in tune with the market and grab them before they come.
Yeah.
You also see the sort of the I'll pay cash, faux handwritten letter sort of stuff that's in there.
Signs on the side of the road, I'll pay cash at your house.
Yeah. Those cash buyer programs are what they are. Like, they're going to probably pay you 70 to 80% of the value of your home.
But you'll get it moved.
Yeah, but there, you'll get it done quick, and there's not, and often you can just leave whatever you want on the property. There's an attraction to that for some people.
Yeah, and you wanted to discuss the Etobicoke luxury sales for Q1.
Yeah, we're in Etobicoke. We focus a lot on it.
Dave is our local waterfront expert. He knows pretty much every waterfront property in Etobicoke.
I've been watching. I've been doing a little research. We've seen, so looking, defining luxury, I'm going with the government's guidelines on it. So over 3 million. Mm-hmm. So for Q1, as we wrap up here, we've seen 12 sales so far over the first 3 months of the year.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah. Today. Comparing back to last year, they had 15 sales.
Okay. And for the whole year.
No, for Q1 2023, they had 15 sales in total. And two of those were over $4 million.
Okay.
For Q1 this year, 2024, we've had 12 sales so far, and four of them have been over $4 million.
Okay.
A couple in the fives and one even over seven.
Wow.
So there was definitely some talk about, hey, we've got this new graduated luxury tax, how that's going to impact. I know a lot of buyers that have opted to look at Peel and Halton region, even York, that were in that kind of north of 5 million range, but we're still seeing sales here. So it's going to have an impact on price, but it'll be part of the negotiations and worked out, and the market will adjust. Next Q2 in 2023, we saw 28 sales with five of them over 4 million. Traditionally, Q2, as we move spring closer into the summer, busiest time of year, the flowers are coming out, everybody's happy, sun's out, days are longer.
The photos look nicer.
Yeah. School's almost done, moving into summer. So that's traditionally our busiest time of year. And I would suspect to see more luxury homes come on the market and certainly more sales as well. Are we going to hit the 28 number this year? We'll see.
Yep.
I don't know. It almost doubles what Q1 is, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're in that sort of 25 to 30 range.
Yeah, we seem to be moving in the right direction. So.
Yeah. So it's good to see that part of the market move.
Yeah.
We're certainly seeing a lot more interest in like entry-level freehold homes under the around the million to 1-2 range. I always call it grandma's house, Nona's house, whatever.
Yeah.
Probably immaculate condition, but hasn't been updated in a long time.
Yeah, needs a little bit of a facelift.
We've seen a few of those. And then the condo market's hit and miss.
Yeah, not gonna lie to you. It's still slow in the condo market. Pre-construction as well is lagging behind a little bit.
One of the big challenges we faced this year with Q1 is we had the Family Day long weekend. Mm-hmm. Then 2 weeks later, we had March break. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, we've got Easter,
so, which is typically in April.
Yeah, so it's like a stop-start thing where people are away. We've got less engagement from buyers and sellers.
I also think we're going to see that the first really nice week of weather. I feel like people are going and opening their cottages. People are just wanting to be outside, going on a patio for a drink. So I feel like the first week of really nice weather is usually really slow in real estate because people just want to be outside. They don't want to be thinking about it.
I think that all those sort of built-in breaks and is going to mean that a lot of people are just going to wait until after. Like I've heard it a lot. Hey, let's list after Easter.
Yep. And a lot of buyers too, waiting to see if there is a rate decrease, waiting to wait for more product to come out.
Yeah. One more announcement in April. So any predictions?
I don't do predictions anymore, Dave.
You've given up.
I predicted that interest rates would be down by Q2 or end of Q1, early Q2. So I guess April, we'll see if I'm right or wrong.
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I've been hearing headlines that Canada's interest rates might come down before the federal rates in the States. Yeah. I've heard all kinds of speculation.
The big thing when I look at Canada and the States, the population's almost, the difference is huge.
I think it's like 10 times.
Yeah. But it's our mortgage system.
Yep.
It's so different.
So different.
You get locked into a rate for 30 years.
Yeah. Also, our average incomes across the country are vastly different. I guess they are in the States too. Obviously, if you look at Florida to LA, it's very different numbers, but there's just so many different factors in how we operate and how we do business in real estate.
Yeah. When you look at the States versus Canada, the States you can lock in for 30 years for a mortgage.
Yeah.
Whereas here in Canada, you've got to renew that mortgage every 5 years. So like we're talking about the rates, renewals are going up. They don't have that in the States.
And I can't even imagine. I wish I could lock in. I can't imagine how many people locked in during COVID rates at 2% for 30 years. But at the same time,
it's golden handcuffs though, right? Like you're like, oh, I got this great rate. I feel awesome
about it.
I'm bragging to all my friends.
I also can't imagine how much worse that would make the housing crisis that we're experiencing here in Canada. If people could live in their house for 30 years and not sell, I can't imagine what our market would be like.
You want to talk about more gridlock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, nobody would leave. There would be so few listings. There would be so many increased bidding wars. Like, I don't even understand how it's working down there. And I guess that's why they have so much more housing than us, but they're also experiencing a very similar housing crisis right now and a lack of housing. And I think these 30-year mortgages where people are cuffed, I think that's a contributing factor, a pretty significant factor.
There's a lot of factors that go into, if you're going to sell your home here, that you've got to look at. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to wait for the spring market.
Yeah.
It's so many things we're looking at now.
Yeah.
Whether it be the taxes, the potential rain tax.
Or highways shutting down.
Highways shutting down, commute time.
Entire streets shutting down. I was at Eaton Center driving along Queen Street. And then I think I was rerouted 6 times because there's so many streets down there that are just completely shut off for the year.
Yeah.
It's wild.
If you're thinking about selling, reach out to a realtor. Hope it's us. If not, reach out to someone you trust and you want to work with. But it's really important to have that conversation before. Yeah. Oh, let's just go see the open house down the road and then and hey, call my realtor. I want to put an offer in. There's a lot more to think about and try to be more strategic with moves here.
Absolutely.
So that's the one thing I encourage people. And I've had people reach out and they're like, is it too early? I'm like, it's never too early. And it ends up being 2 years later.
You don't schedule a surgery without your doctor and surgeon. Don't schedule a house purchase or sale without like your realtor, your lawyer. Get your professional advice.
I like how you group us in with the doctors and lawyers.
Oh yeah, because we do
more the doctors than
the
lawyers.
What we do is so similar to doctors.
Yeah. I should go get my PhD so you can call me Dr. Real Estate.
Doctor, broker, senior VP, real estate.
MBA.
MBA. The our, D-bag title.
Yes. Yes. That's a story for a different time.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. We look forward to you hitting the subscribe, telling friends.
Yeah. And if there's any subjects that you want us to discuss next week on our podcast, just let us know in the comments down below. And we'd be happy to do a little bit of a deep dive into some of the questions you guys have.
We'll see you.
Bye.